You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
And good afternoon. What's up, babe?
Good afternoon.
You don't like that energetic greeting?
That was a long and. I think it's funny how you always start our podcast.
Right? And good afternoon.
Right.
Well, it's exciting and good energy, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So we're coming off an absolutely tremendous weekend. And the last two weekends actually have been really great. We did our planning retreat, and then we, this weekend, why don't you tell them a little bit about what happened with our family this weekend?
So out of our planning retreat, we have wanted to go to the North Pole here in Alaska. And so we decided to take a 4-day that we had in January so we could...
A 4-day. So in the military, we generally get, you know, what's called a DONSA, a day of no scheduled activity. And you usually get, every month you'll get a 3 or 4 day weekend. So this weekend we had a 4-day weekend.
Yeah. So we got to, and a lot of times we will make plans to go do things that we don't typically get a chance to do if... Anyway, so we go and do that. So the North Pole was one of those. And we had such an amazing time. We planned to go to
Santa Springs.
Well,
oh, yeah.
First it was Santa's house. So it's up by Fairbanks. And so we went to Santa's house. And that was really cool because you could find everything and anything as far as anything related to Santa, right? Like that was decorations and just driving through the North Pole city was fun. I mean, it was funny because our kids were, they were a little anticlimactic about standing in front of the North Pole, just because it was
cold.
It was
negative 10, but it felt like negative 20s.
Yeah. And, but it was just a tiny little pole. And so they were just like, seriously.
Yeah. It was a pole, a candy stripe pole.
Yeah. They were like, are you kidding me?
It was so cold. Yeah.
But so anyways, it was fun because we were in the middle of the North Pole and took a picture. But driving through the city was fun because it was like all, I don't know, it was just all really festive. So it was just a fun, small little town, but it was really fun. But then Saturday we went to the Chena Hot Springs Resort, which was really pretty amazing. And we thought the North Pole was cold, but I mean... The level of cold the next day was like...
Yeah, it was ridiculously cold.
I can't even imagine, you know, I mean, I know it gets way colder there. Like, I mean, we just did a little bit of walking and our noses were just like hurting, like really hurting cold.
Yeah, Karis threw a cup of hot water under the air and it immediately turned to powder. It was just that cold.
But it was, I mean, and just being in the hot springs and how quickly your hair would just, I mean, completely freeze from the mist was just... But yet you were so... So you were so warm, and I think it was really cool because we had went to the ice sculpture at the resort beforehand.
Yeah.
And everything was, I mean, it was like this huge building, and everything inside it was made of ice.
That was pretty cool.
It was really neat. I mean, we had a drink, and the glass was made of ice. So it was just, I don't know, it was really a really cool experience. But on the way there, walking to that with our tour guide, it was so cold. And I think doing that before we went into the Chena Hot Springs allowed us to really, I mean, like, because we walked outside to get into the springs and we're out there for, what, almost an hour in the springs?
Yeah.
And we're really warm. Like, it was, I mean, obviously it was very cold from, like, the neck up, right? We kept trying to keep ourselves warm. But anyway, it was just reminder of how really cold it was, but yet those springs were so warm.
It was pretty cool.
It was really neat. Anyway.
Well, all that to say that, you know, one of the things we're doing this year is we're embracing, and I've shared about it, I think I posted about it too on our Instagram page, was the idea of doing a mini adventure every other month, you know, to the best of our ability.
Well, and it's not always dropping like a lot of cash, every time.
No, I mean, so this it's time just, we just, it's, I mean, this time we planned for it,
right.
You know, and we paid for it, but just a mini adventure. And a mini adventure could literally be like, hey, rather than sitting on the couch this weekend, we're going to get up and go do a hike.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go do a bike ride, or we're going to go do a cooking class.
Whatever
the case may be.
Cook a new meal.
This was a mini adventure for us, and it was just an absolutely phenomenal weekend.
It was very, very fun.
Yeah. So we're coming off that. I'm actually going to be going up there in a couple weeks. I'll be up there for about 5 or 6 weeks to do some training. Living in that super cold, that'll be kind of fun, won't it?
Yes, you will have a wonderful time.
I do like going on the field. So, okay. Well, hey, listen. This is part two. We started a three-part money series in our last conversation in which we talked a little bit about work. And I just want to kind of do a little bit of a refresher. We years ago, I heard Dave Ramsey say that if you will read the book of Proverbs and just note everything it has to say about money, you'll have the equivalent of a master's degree in finance. And so I did that and filled up pages and pages of wisdom with regards to money from Proverbs. Now, I will say I'm not sure I have a master's degree in finance, but I learned a lot from that exercise. And through doing that, I think we kind of developed a four-point paradigm for money. We shared it in our last podcast, and so we'll just kind of hit it again. We'll cover a little bit of review. The paradigm, the financial paradigm as I see it from Proverbs is a four-part one. It says, earn it, give it, save it, spend it. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. And so that's the paradigm that we've taught our kids. And now our kids are in age, they range from 21 to 12, and they all embrace that ideology. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. So last time we talked about earn it, which is talking a lot about work. And if you haven't heard that podcast, I'd encourage you just to go listen to that one first, because we're going to build on that for these next two episodes. So today, we want to talk a little bit about give it and save it. So babe, let's talk about give it. How about teaching a kid to give?
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to some of our what we've talked to in our previous podcasts, I think when you teach them at a very young age, it becomes a little bit easier than when you would try to teach a teenager to give, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, embracing, you know, helping. I mean, honestly, even a little kid, you know, teaching them to give can be a little bit hard, you know, because they want it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I want that. That's mine, you know. But I think if you can start to instill that in their little hearts very early on, it at least teaches them. I think it would become easier.
Well, some kids, I think, are more generous naturally than others.
Well, Dave Ramsey says there are givers and there's spenders, right? He divides them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've obviously seen that in our tribe, and we've, you know, you see it in other kids as well.
But you're typically...
I'm definitely more of a giver. I'll, you know, and...
But you know what's
almost
interesting?
To a point of this could be a liability if we're not careful.
But you know what's... Absolutely. But you know what's interesting is your family was more of a giver family.
Right.
And my family was more of like a... of a saver, like keep to ourselves family. So I think again, like your family adds a lot of value to how you're raised and brought up. So, you know, parents, you're raising your kids, and I just think they're gonna have a bent, right? I mean, I think they are gonna have a bent towards it, but I think that the family impacts it so very much.
Well, we started our podcast off last time with a quote from Beth Kobliner. She wrote a book called Make Your Kid a Money Genius Even If You're Not. And she says parents are the number one influence on their child's financial behavior.
Yes.
Like literally the number one.
Yes.
So, yeah, my family was definitely more givers. But we didn't plan our giving well. We just gave. And
we're,
you know, always just giving. And then later we're like, we'll figure out, you know, how to cover the deficit later. Which is not a great way. And, you know, your family is amazing. But they were not as... I think they thought through their generosity a little better.
Yes, I would agree.
You know, than what mine
but
did.
We, but yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I think coming together, you know, makes our relationship really great because then I can bring the aspect of, you know, wanting to save and...
Let's have a plan.
And then you can say, hey, but what about giving too? And I think the more that we work together and I think the more that we understand our budget, the easier it becomes for both of us to save and give, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
when it comes to this idea of giving, especially when you're teaching your kids, like we've broken it down into two categories. There's God and government or tithe and taxes, right?
Yeah.
And I will say right up front, you know, maybe not everyone listening to this podcast is a God or a tithe fan, but give me just a second to talk through that, if you'll do. Let me just kind of make the case for that. So I would just say right now that if not planning to give your taxes is irresponsible, right? It'll get you in trouble with the tax man. You will pay You know, if you got to plan for taxes, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, we're not certified financial planners, so, you know, seek counsel from someone else on that. But there will be tax in your life, and you must pay it.
Well, we've seen people who – we've talked with people who haven't.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it has literally wrecked their lives.
Absolutely wrecked their lives.
It's so, caused undue stress, so
100%.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, the government, the tax, like, you have to pay that.
And right? Obviously, like, I mean, I just want to put a caveat here. Like, our kids did not, when they're little, pay taxes, right?
No, but we
but we taught them a give perspective.
We taught them a give. So, and the first was like, you know, I'm talking to you as adults. I mean, the reason we're teaching our kids to give is because someday you are going to have to give that component. But the other is the God part. So I would just say this, not planning to give your taxes is irresponsible, and it'll give you in trouble with the tax man. Not planning to give your tithe is unfortunate, since God has connected generosity to happiness.
Yes.
Like, it is amazing how much happiness is connected
to giving.
To giving. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think tithe is an aspect of giving, right? I mean, there are definitely other ways to grab at giving. So, I mean, that's one of the biblical ways.
So for those who don't understand what tithe is, a tithe would be like, it's Hebrew for a tenth, right? So a 10% of your giving. That's what we were raised on. That's what we taught our children, is to we plan to give a tithe, a tenth, right?
Right.
And that's the generosity component. So,
and that goes back to the church.
Well, I mean, it can, right? So, and I'm for religious people, you know, for people
right.
in a
I'm
church,
saying,
they would say, yeah, it's going
to
go to your church.
To church.
But if you're not a religious person, you can still plan on giving for the purposes of generosity.
Sure. And it could be in any other realm. I mean, yeah.
So I will tell you, last year I read a book. Tony Robbins wrote a book called Money, Master the Game, Seven Simple Steps to Financial Freedom. It's over 600 pages, okay? It's an incredible book. It's well worth your time to wade through it. Lots of good insight. At the very end, all right, page 588, he says...
Did you seriously read...
I did.
All of those
Dude,
pages.
I got my notes all through this. I mean, I've done so much work through
That's
this.
That's a lot of reading.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But the final chapter is called The Final Secret. And in this, he quotes Winston Churchill. You've probably heard this quote. He says, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give."
Yes, yes.
And in there, he refers to, there were a couple of researchers out of Harvard University that did an extensive amount of research on the act of giving. Mm-hmm. Ended up writing a book called Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. But in this book, their research indicated this. He said, their research shows the more you give to others, the happier you are. And the more you have, the more you're able to give. And so this is pretty significant. They demonstrated through their research that people get more satisfaction spending money on others than they do spending it on themselves. And the benefits of giving or spending on other people extend not only to subjective well-being, but also to your objective health. In other words, Tony Robbins says this, giving makes you both happier and healthier. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I see it all across. People
yes.
that are generous and
yes.
have planned for generosity
right.
are absolutely happier, more content people than people who spend every single dollar they get.
Well, I think about it with our kids, a couple examples. Like, I know at Christmas time we played the Secret Santa. And it's really cool, you know, there was a point when our kids were really little, right, where we actually funded them $20. Do you remember that?
Yes.
$20, $30. And we would then go shopping. And just the joy on Christmas morning, like, they were excited about their gifts. But, I mean, literally, they could not wait to get to give the gift that they gave to the person. Like, they could hardly hold it in. Do you remember
right.
that? Like,
right.
Even leading up to Christmas, they would, like, want to tell them. And I'm like, no. So I think, so that was with us giving them the money. And now I'm watching as our kids are able to make, every one of them make their own money for Santa, Secret Santa now.
Right.
And this last Christmas, it was so beautiful to watch them all just the joy that it brought them to give generously, you know, to their Secret Santa.
I 100% agree with that. I think
it's happiness. Like
the giving, the joy that was connected to giving.
Yes.
Was greater than the joy that was connected to getting.
To getting, yes,
right.
Exactly. I think just teaching, you know, teaching your kids that is such a beautiful, or even giving them that experience, right? It fulfills something within you that we're made not just to get, we're made to give, right?
And so if Beth Kobliner is right, when she says that the parents are the number one financial influence in their children's lives. Mom and dad, if you're not modeling generosity, if you're not modeling giving in your lives, you're robbing your kids of happiness and arguably even some measure of health.
And I would, so when I was, you know, thinking through this podcast about giving, you know, one of the things that I thought about, babe, was, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we give through time, right? Or we give through, I mean, time is a big one, right?
Yeah, time, volunteer service.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are wonderful, but I think that honestly, I mean, so I think you should be well-rounded and do some of those things, but teaching your children to give financially is something that should never be neglected, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just so important because I feel like, you know, I mean, what it, isn't it, I can't remember what I was going to say about money, but I feel like, money is, what's the verse? I'm kind of like tongue-tied right now. What's the verse where basically like money flows from who you are and if you don't give.
I think you're totally making
that
up.
No, I'm not.
I don't think there's a verse like that.
I wish I would have that down. It's like coming to my head, like something that should be there. But I feel like if it flows out of who you are. Right. Like if you don't use your money to give,
well,
it shows what your heart is.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I think this year it's been fun to watch our kids adopt a Compassion International child.
Yes.
$43 a month. And even our littles have adopted, right? And they earn their money and they pay it. But for them to know they are supporting a child in another country who would not have a fair shot at life apart from someone coming alongside them and giving to them. I'm watching their joy. They write them letters. They look forward to receiving their letters. And so, you know, the point is, again, we want to come back to this. You know, if you don't have a plan for generosity, you're not going to be generous.
Yes.
And if you're not generous, you're going to miss out on the better parts of life. Again, Winston Churchill, you know, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give.
Right.
And I will tell you, the best parts of my life I've never had a paycheck that I've said, this is the best part of my life. It's always been the experiences created or the joy that I've been able to facilitate in someone else's life as a result of my generosity. This actually made me feel good.
Yes.
And if we can help our kids get that, that's a big deal.
I know John Deloney talks about this, where he would take his boy out and they would go to a restaurant and he would say to his boy, because he wanted to teach him the idea of generosity and giving.
Right.
And so he would say, watch this. I'm going to tip the waitress and I want you to watch her face. And he would tip the waitress like $100 or $200. And she would literally look at that and then she would double take. And it was almost like, and the son would sit there and he's like, John Deloney was like, this is what we can do when we plan for generosity.
Yes.
And this is how it feels.
Yes.
And the waitress would, you know, sometimes tear up because that paid her electric bill or, you know, just whatever. So yes, there is joy in that for sure. I think just teaching your kids.
But
modeling it.
If you are generous without a plan, you won't be generous long.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a plan. So that's why we say there's a four-part plan for money.
Yeah.
You earn it, right? So you got to go to work. You got to earn this money. And then you give it, you know, make sure you're paying your tithe and your taxes, you know, or however you want to do, create space for generosity in your financial paradigm.
Right.
Because, man, there's so much goodness that happens out of that.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
So the next part then of the financial paradigm is, you know, earn it, give it, save it. And this is a big one. This is a big one because consistently, there are reports coming out that people in our culture do not know how to save. Like, people are living paycheck to paycheck. And basically what that means is that if they spend all their money, most people spend all of their money. And so there is no margin. If there's an emergency that happens, they have to pull out a credit card and happen. Or if there's an opportunity that presents itself. You know,
You can't jump on.
They can't jump on the opportunity because they don't have money. If there's a cool experience that that comes their way and they could really do something that would be forever a memory, they don't have enough money saved to take that experience.
Yes.
So this whole idea of saving, is massive. And let me again go back to Beth Koblenner. Parents are the number one influence on their children's financial behaviors. Parents, if you don't save, what are the odds that your kids are going to save? Right?
Yes.
And so the question is, are your kids actually seeing you save? And what's that look like? So, babe, can we talk a little bit about like our coin and calendar process, how we do that and how the kids see it?
Well, so they don't necessarily see our, like they don't sit down at our coin and calendar, but we have taught them. And I think we're pretty open about saying like, hey, this is what, you know, and we're not like figure wise, we don't, but we just say, hey, we do save 10%. We give 10% and then we live on the other 80. But so we do sit after we do our coin and calendar, we'll sit down with our kids. Right. And, yep. We'll do each one of them. And now that the older that they get, the more we don't necessarily have to do one-on-one with all of them at this point, but the younger ones for sure.
So when they were little, we actually each, they had envelopes.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Okay,
so
all right, go.
Yeah, we have, yes, they had three envelopes.
Yep.
Yeah. They had a
give it, save it, spend it.
Yes. Yeah, so they would, and they would earn. I mean, we talked about that last week. They would earn it through chores and sometimes exterior things outside, you know, like
yeah, we always try to give them an opportunity to create extra income.
Sure.
It'd be like extra above and beyond the things we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Like,
so, but then they would take their, we would sit down with them with the money that they accumulated for that
weekend.
Week.
Yep, every weekend.
And we would say, okay, let's, and I would, I would literally say, what is 10%? You know, and just really work to teach them how to figure 10% out.
So if they earned $20.
Yeah, they would give two.
Yep.
And so they would take, and one of the things, I mean, so it's a little bit of work, right? Like you have to, again, comes back to this planning process. Like I had to have, I didn't give them a $20 bill, right? I ended up having like $15, and then I would give them, you know, a 10, a 5, and 5 ones, right?
Yep.
So they could figure out their process.
Yep.
So I would take their money, and I would have change for them, and we would exchange change, and then we would say to them, okay, so you earned $20 this week. Let's do 10%, and the first thing we would do is we would give it, right? And
yep.
They pull out, we would label their little envelope, and it was just a little letter envelope, right?
Yep.
And it would have on there give, and they could decorate it, make it look however they wanted, and they would put $2 in there. And then we would move, okay, we've done the 10% of give, now we're going to do the 10% of save. So just teaching them we've earned, and then we're going to give, and then we're going to save those 10% rules. And so again, they'd be like, okay, 10%. And they would then realize out of 20, they then had $16 that they could put in their spend. And you know, it was, I found it interesting sometimes, you know, they wrestled with why couldn't they have, like if they were really wanting a toy, and let's just say the toy was $20, right?
Right.
They really wrestled with the fact of why can't I just take the 20 and go spend it?
Right.
And so I, you know, just teaching them like we need to save for that toy. So put that money back. And, you know, I mean, if you only have 16 this week, then there's no, you know, there's no toy. But then I think, you know, we're going to get ready to talk about this whole, you know, delayed gratification part of the process. And I think it just like taught them a lot about, hey, do you, you know, because sometimes they'd be like, well, we just want to go spend the $16, right? But they couldn't get the toy that they wanted that was 20. So do they go blow all of their 16 on something that maybe
they don't
really, really want, but they want to buy something?
Yeah.
Or do they wait and save that money so that delayed gratification would happen? And I think we're such a society that doesn't want to delay our gratification.
No, we want it now.
Now
it was crazy to watch because like our kids like they would want a toy and they would have to save for 2 weeks to get the toy,
right?
And they didn't want to, so rather than, there were a couple of them that rather than save, they'd be like,
yeah,
they'd go buy candy,
yes,
or go buy another toy,
something that would gratify that
I gotta
to
have
spend.
Something now,
yes.
and then the next week came and they were still short,
yes.
And the,
yes,
to watch the pain in those little eyes, but now I'm looking at our kids,
yes.
And I'm seeing, like,
they've saved for their cars.
They've saved for their cars. They've all got, like, decent savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, the pain that I felt as a dad in that moment by not like underwriting all of my kids' wants is being paid off now. The return on that pain is significant.
Yes.
And again, it's not. There were plenty of times where I'm like, you know what, man, we're just going to cover the cost.
Well, but no, I mean, yeah, you would say, hey, I'm just going to go buy that toy for you,
right?
And so it wasn't a matter of you took away the delayed gratification, so to speak. It was a matter of you just were going to go get them. You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we still taught them delayed gratification.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but I'm saying I don't want it to seem like we were these ogre-ish parents that were like,
I think
you can't have it because you didn't save
you
money.
You were that. No, come on. Come on now.
But
how
I
many
will...
times have our kids fussed about that now?
Oh, well, I think, though, there's that. That was ridiculous. What are you doing? I think there's so much value, though, in just teaching our kids to save. And teaching them that sometimes the best things come as a result of saving.
And waiting. Yeah, I mean, we're in a society, like, it was interesting. I was talking to a mom just a couple days ago, and she was just like, this is what the kid said to her. She's like, we can't get that right now. And the kid looked at her and he's like, well, there's Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
He literally said that to his mom. Because he knows that Amazon can come in a day or two.
Right.
Now, obviously, not in Alaska here. It takes them, what, 2 weeks,
three weeks?
But anyway, you know, so, like, we have all of this. I mean, and the thing that you can, like, just use your phone now at everything right. And just snap it away. And, I mean, it's just...
So, again, it comes down to...
It's getting harder to do delayed gratification.
Reminds me of the thing that we talked about last week was that the reason most... 46% of people that are living paycheck to paycheck are living that way because they don't have a plan. They don't have a budget. They just spend, right?
Well,
and we're going to talk about that spending next podcast, but...
You can have a budget, though, but if you don't follow it...
People don't have a budget and they aren't living by
their
budget.
Right.
So, I mean, again, teaching your kids to... Carve space in their budget for generosity.
Yes.
Right? Teaching them to carve space for savings
yeah.
is a massive deal. So a horror story. I remember I was a pastor, and I was talking with a gentleman in mid-60s, and he, for his entire life, had been a very hard worker, a very, very hard worker, and had been a very generous man. Like, I mean, just things like, you know, he would always, you know, if you're going out to lunch, he'd buy lunch, you know, always helping people. But in his mid-60s, he incurred some bodily harm mm-hmm. and was going to have to quit his job, which consisted largely of manual labor. And I remember him confiding in me, and he said, you know, I'm really concerned what's going to happen when I lose my paycheck. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I remember I journaled about that because I thought, here's a man in his mid-60s who's been a hard worker and he's been very generous, but he has not saved.
Yes.
And now he's mid-60s.
Yeah.
He's not super marketable, and he's going to lose his paycheck. And he's not
sure scary thing.
What he's going to do, how he's going to live, right? And so, you know, when I'm teaching my little kids to save, what they don't know is that I'm teaching them to prepare for their future when they're 60.
Yes.
Because I don't want my kids ever, ever... to find themselves in a position where I can't work and I'm broke.
Yes.
And I will tell you, if we as parents don't take the initiative to teach our kids how to do this, that is how they're going to end up.
Well,
unless by some great intervention of God or Dave Ramsey.
Right.
They find another way.
Right.
So, and that's it. Parents, we have to teach our kids to save. And the way to go about that is to teach them the concept of delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, can't have everything you want when you want it.
Nope. And so sometimes you got to wait, bud. You got to save, right? We got to save for it. And there's something really beautiful. Because I will tell you, a lot of times when they start saving, they're realizing, I don't really want that thing anyways. You know, I want something different or something bigger or something better.
Well, and it's interesting when they choose the candy over waiting for the gift.
Yeah.
It just... It just doesn't fulfill,
no.
You know? It's just like, why did I do that?
So I don't know if you guys have read this book, The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clausen. It's a classic. It's a must read. It's the conversation between a wealthy merchant and some of the individuals with whom he had grown up who had not done so well in their lives. And they go to this man, his name is Arkad, and they said, tell us how you became wealthy. And this is one of the things in the book he said, I found the road to wealth when I decided that a part of all I earned was mine to keep. So he just, in later on in the book, he said, a part of all you earn is yours to keep. It should not be less than a tenth, no matter how little you earn. In other words, you should give yourself, you should pay yourself 10% of everything you earn.
Yeah.
You should save it. Right? He said it can be as much as you can afford, but it should not be less than a tenth. Pay yourself first. Do not buy from the clothes maker, the sandal maker, more than you can pay out the rest and still have enough for food and charity and penance to the gods. In other words, you got to save first. You got to pay yourself first, right? You're going to save and then give and then live off the rest. And so for our kids, we created the 10-10-80 principle, right? So you're going to earn it, and then you're going to give 10, you're going to save 10, and you're going to live on 80. And so for us, that principle, you know, the kids now, that's how they live their lives. Give 10, save 10, live on 80. And it's a great way to live because they're always able to be generous. They're never really concerned about, you know, crisis because they've got money set back. They have opportunity to take care of or advantage of experiences or opportunities because they got money set back. And that's just a really, really big deal, I think, as parents, for us to model that for our kids. So, babe, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the right thing.
You agree?
I do agree. I was just thinking about, you know, like you were, as you were talking, just about sometimes just this whole idea of wealth. You know, I love, you and I've talked a little bit about, like, what does wealth look like? And, you know, the author of The Millionaire Next Door was saying that most people have it all wrong about wealth in America, right?
Yep.
Wealth is not the same as your income.
Yes.
And I think, you know, helping our kids to as your kids get older to understand that, right? And even ourselves to understand that we're not wealthy by what we make. We're wealthy by
what we have.
Yes, by what we save, right? I mean, what we accumulate, not what we spend.
Yeah, so in that book, The Millionaire Next Door, he'll talk a lot about high income, low wealth.
Mm-hmm.
People, and we talked about this on the last podcast, but they make a lot of money, but they have no money because they spend it all.
Right.
And I don't want that for our kids. I want them to have something
right
set aside, right? Because what you have set aside is actually
is going to be your wealth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think teaching, like, letting our kids understand that, hey, I mean, you have $20 to spend, but what about the $100 that you have saved? That's your wealth. You know,
right.
Just letting them, giving them the idea of understanding that saving is what's going to make you wealthy, right?
100%. Well, yeah, and I, you know, again,
oh,
I don't.
Sure.
We could start digging into, I mean, the finer parts of finance where we talk about assets and liabilities,
sure.
and that's not the point of this podcast.
Like, right.
The point of this podcast is to teach our kids to earn it through work.
Yes.
We give it. So for our paradigm, we talked about giving to you know, our taxes and our tithe or to God, and that's our generosity, right? So earn it, give it, save it. And that saving is just a massive part of what it looks like to be prepared for the future.
Yeah.
Because a man who doesn't save, a woman who doesn't save, is in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And teaching them at a young age is the way to do it.
Yeah. Because again, to quote Beth Kobliner, right? The parents are the number one and the primary influence in their children's financial paradigm.
Yep.
So, okay, guys. Yeah. Well, that's part two.
Yep.
What you got? What were you going to say? Nothing?
No.
Okay, because you took this massive
breath. I did take a breath, but yeah, no, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, earn it, give it, save it. And next time we're going to talk about spending, and that's a really big deal. But again, as parents, have this conversation with your kids. You know, pull out the envelopes or however you want to teach them to divide their money,
mm-hmm.
their earn it money, their give it money, their save it money.
Yep.
And then next week we'll talk, or next podcast we'll talk about the spend it money.
Yes.
And that four-part paradigm, it really does work for your little people. All right? So listen, we've got a lot of resources available for you. If you haven't checked out our website, firsthalfparenting.com, go there and check that out. We have a YouTube channel. You can get on there and type in First Half Parenting and you'll find us. And you can check out the podcast on multiple platforms, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. Interesting, I was doing a little research yesterday. Most of you guys are listening to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. That's kind of interesting. Hey, if this stuff is helpful, will you please share it with your friends, share it on social media, and that'd be awesome. We're really trying this year to expand our reach and just help parents enjoy the parenting process. So, all right, babe, send us out. What'd you got?
Send us out. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Have an awesome weekend. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.